always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined, well, I was like originally joined by Raj Sapalu, but literally, I mean, you guys might have seen him briefly on the screen. His devices are no longer connected, so not really sure what happened there. So at least for right now, I'm riding solo. As the draft is now well underway, we are on pick number 10, which belongs to the Milwaukee Bucks. That is their own pick anyway. Hey, Raj, how you holding up, bud?
I don't know what that was. this is off season technicalities, I guess. I don't know. It just cut me right off as we logged in.
You were so not used to NBA draft talk that you were just like, eject, I gotta go.
I let you know the specialists, and they do an amazing job at that. I follow those, you know, all the people who do great work, like Mike Garcia at Canyon Driver and all the other people who do great work on the draft. But yeah, I wait till the name is called, and then I'll dive into whoever it is in about an hour. This draft is taking a while. I'm not sure
it is, right? Every like it's like the they say like the pick is in, and then they just keep talking.
Yeah.
the pick is in. I guess we're, but that matters. A lot of Jay Billis on the show. I like Jay Billis saying that Cam Boozer is his favorite player in the draft. Cam Boozer, who went to Duke. Jay Billis is like Mr. Duke. Shocking development there.
Yeah, surprising.
So anyway, today on the show, we're going to be talking about the draft as it plays out. Right now, the Lakers or the only surprise, I guess, so far in the draft is that, the Dallas Mavericks, I guess, according to some people, reached a little bit to get Morris Johnson Jr. The forward from Michigan. This obviously comes on the heels of hiring Dusty May as their head coach, who won a national championship with Morris Johnson Jr. at the University of Michigan. So probably a link going on there. Also, like, Morris Johnson Jr. is also very much a Masai Ujiri player. Outside of that, though, everything has been pretty much chalk. You had DeBonta go first overall. You had Darren Peterson go second overall, which I think probably matters to the Lakers, as you know, that Darren Peterson going to Utah gets in the way of, or like, you know, frees up the minutes that like Cam Boozer or DeBanza could have taken had those guys gone to Utah in the front court, though not necessarily directly from Kessler, because he's the only like defensive anchor center on that team.
Well, did you catch Shams? I don't know if it was on purpose, but when he listed kind of Utah's core, he left Kessler out. He's like, yeah, he joins, and he named all the players from Utah and did not name Kessler. Again, I don't know if that was purposeful or not.
I will say this. Kessler's agent wants him out of there. Like, it is a really poorly kept secret that Aaron Mintz wants Kessler up out of there as quickly as he possibly can. He has not been thrilled with how they have treated his client to this point. And it I think signals that he's a little concerned about how they're going to handle this restricted free agency. So, we'll talk about that, over the course of the show as well. The Lakers have pick number 25 here, which will take place sometime tomorrow afternoon at this rate. I thought, Raj, I was like, yeah, 8 o'clock, like we'll be about ready for the Lakers.
That's what I thought too.
We're not,
I
was even like, halfway there. So we're going to bullshit for a little bit, and then we'll react to the Lakers using that pick, however they choose to use it. Not much buzz, honestly, about them you know, fielding offers with that pick, seeing what it could possibly get them. I don't think they have been overwhelmed by the market for that pick, given how much talent has been dispersed throughout this draft, like all over this draft. There's the belief from, you know, the majority of the NBA that, like, there is talent to be gotten early, obviously, in the first round, throughout the first round, late in the first round, early in the second round. And then there are plenty of diamonds in the rough as well. And so because of that, I think it has kind of tempered what the return on that pick could possibly be. We also just know that Rob Pelinka is very reluctant to trade first round picks. He just does not like doing it, even though he sucks at using them. And yeah, we,
this is something I've been thinking about, you know, with this. I came to the conclusion that they were going to keep this pick probably a while ago. I was just thinking about, if you save cap space, Anthony, I don't think you save cap space to then use your first to go get talent. You know what I mean? Like, I think the cap space is what they want to leverage to go get talent, which is why they are linked to free agents, right? Or even restricted ones, but these are the ones that are kind of been linked to, in a Peyton Watson, a Walker Kessler, right? Hartenstein, you know, maybe is a far out there type of dream, but these are guys that you don't really have to give first rounders for. I think that would be their preference, and then later on in free agency, you know, go and use your first if you have to. But that's why I thought they were going to use this pick, and I doubt the 25th pick had much value to change your team unless you're packaging that with your other two firsts, and maybe you should have. But like, if not, then I think they want to leverage the cap space that they have first, so you'll see these offers hopefully go out. I mean, a ton of teams made their moves already. It felt like yesterday, once the Giannis trade was finalized. But yeah, I think the Lakers want to use their space first. But this 25th pick is important. Like, three straight first rounders, or two straight first rounders, have just completely fallen out. I mean, JHS, obviously, then Dalton Connect, who has no trade value. This one matters. Whether he plays next year, you know, it would be unfortunate if he can't contribute next year, but he has to at least become something within the next 2 years. You can't waste another one of these if you're going to select him, which seems like they are in about an hour or so.
Yeah. So we'll maybe an hour, hopefully within the hour. The Bucks, I think, selected Burries right before Golden State was getting ready to select them. So as a result of that, the Warriors turned around and selected Lindeborg instead from Michigan, which is an interesting pick, you know, in that, like, the Warriors are signaling to everybody that, like, yeah, you know, we'll give it the good old college try to compete here at the end of Steph's prime.
Yeah.
But like, one of, I think, the funniest quotes and reports from the summer so far has been somebody from the Warriors front office leaking anonymously that the time to go all in was a few years ago with Steph. if you've been paying attention there, I don't think I would have handled that quote very well if I was a Warriors fan. So that's the pick that's going on right now. The crazy thing about Lindeborg, he's one of the oldest lottery picks in a little while, right? 23 years old already, which, you know, if you're like trying to convince yourself on that pick and you're a Warriors fan, you say, like, you take the, you know, most ready-made product there to maybe try to help you and also be cost controlled here moving forward. Maybe that's the positive spin on the pick and on the decision to use it. But yeah, what we're, really quickly before we move on, also, as always, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, all of that good stuff. The show in its video form is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and, make a $5 lineup of your own, and Prize Picks will, fit the bill for $50 worth of free lineups on them. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcasts, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere is just fine to me. What do you think, Raj, of the off season so far? I mean, like, you know, you and I haven't spoken obviously since the Giannis trade.
Yeah.
I will say him going to Miami is like, if you're a Laker fan,
not just because of,
you know, fuck Boston reasons, but for the sake of the Lakers roster flexibility, him going to Miami was always the, you know, the better case scenario there. So we'll see if the Lakers can get involved. But what did you think of the return? Giannis finally getting traded, all of that good stuff.
Well, this might be the best player to move with the least amount of consequence league wide. Where not a single contender blinked, really, where it didn't really change anything from who's going to be the favorite next season. But I never really understood why Giannis needed to leave Milwaukee in the first place. It just feels very 2012 Dwight-ish, where it's like he's being told he needs to leave, and Giannis already has a ring, so we'll see how it shakes out in Miami. You mentioned the Warriors. They're one of the bigger losers, I think, in this. They have chased Giannis for years,
yep,
kind of telling their fan base, hey, like, yeah, let's just let, you know, Giannis is still out there. We could get him. Like, I know you didn't like our trade deadline. You didn't like our summer. You didn't like this move. Giannis is still out there as a player that we can get. So they're kind of one of the biggest losers in this. But, yeah, I think Milwaukee, that was smart. Like, I think they got everything they could from Miami. I don't even know how real, like, Shams reported Jaylen Brown was on the table, obviously, but I don't think Boston wanted that out, right? And so I think, like, I would be sure Boston would not want that out without a deal agreed to. Like, hey, we'll put Jaylen on table if you say yes, kind of thing. That needs to be that. That's what the conversation needed to be. But I think it's genius for Milwaukee to, or whoever put that out and got that to be public information, because it forced Miami to kind of cough up everything they had, including their last second rounder to trade for the next 7 years. They coughed that up too in this deal, plus Hawkes, plus Ware. Obviously, Tyler Hero also going, who I think will be flipped. But I think Milwaukee did as well as you could. And, you know, that team, I think Bam and Giannis are going to be frightening defensively. That's a monstrous front line. I don't know how they score. Wiggins will probably be back there, but Giannis gets his wish. Again, I think it's going to be a strange, like, I don't know, his personality doesn't really fit Miami to me. Stay-at-home star that stays home with his family going to Miami. Just the lifestyle. Again, I just don't understand the match for him, but, you know, I think he wanted.
I don't know. I feel the opposite, right? Like,
okay,
if somebody who if James Harden was to go to Miami,
uh-huh,
I would be legitimately concerned for his longer term health.
Prime James Harden in Miami might not have lasted too long. Like that. Him and Pat Riley would not have lasted
3 weeks. You know, like, if you're like a Giannis, right, and you know that like Pat Riley runs this really tight ship, and Eric Spoelstra demands like nothing but like the toughest, most, you know, best conditioned, blah, 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 whatever their little mantra is. Like, I kind of feel like Giannis is, you know, because he's so focused on family and just kind of chilling, that like that actually really kind of works for him. The part of it that I don't really get is like they're about to lose Norm. And I don't know how they replace his shooting. You know, like the spacing on that team, like they might only give up 73 points a game, but they're going to score 73 and a half.
Right. Know? Yeah.
Unless like they all just really commit to getting out and running on literally every stop. And we've seen actually Miami play that style of basketball this last year, where they didn't run as much pick and roll. They just, you know, move the ball around, move players around, and then just kind of attack the basket, and then, you know, got after it defensively. From the Lakers side of this, you know, I reported that the Lakers had contacted. Well, all right, let's take a couple of steps back. So let's talk about what you mentioned about like Jaylen Brown eventually being like publicly reported on, right? So Saturday, and I've already kind of told the story a little bit on the show Sunday, but Saturday afternoon, basically every like reporter, like I don't know who started the chain on like who was telling whom that the trade was imminent.
It was close.
And it was coming. Yeah. And it was coming Saturday afternoon. I even put it in our Slack. He's like, yep, just heard secondhand that like it sounds like this thing is getting close. And the point of that pretty clearly was that Milwaukee was doing whatever they possibly could to get Boston to make a serious offer. Not the concept of an offer like the guys on Hoop Collective were talking about, but they wanted Jaylen Brown on the table with draft picks for Giannis Antetokounmpo so that they could then go to and that would basically bring in Milwaukee's mind sorry, I just got a text from Pete saying, bring me Hartenstein. I don't know what I missed here.
OKC drafted a center. I guess they drafted Mara.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting. Yeah, they have three or four centers now, I think.
Yeah, you got Chet, you got Hart, and you got now Mara.
And Sorber.
Unless they intend to trade one of the younger ones, but the younger ones are going to be one of the cheaper ones.
Yeah, that's not Mara's how Presti good. Operates. Yeah.
I like Mara. He doesn't really fit their style, though, right? Because he's kind of lumbering. He's not – he's really big, really long, but he doesn't like – he's not going to guard on the perimeter very well.
I mean, Jalen Williams is on their team, right? I mean, that's kind of the other Jalen Williams, right? Not J-Dub. I think they're just a really like they're just a really well run organization, and they'll fit their players around it. But Hartenstein would be the like if you can't get Kessler, Hartenstein would probably be right up there as 1A, 1B as the center you'd go get. I'm not sure they'll just lose him for nothing though, but that does make it interesting that they did draft a center with obviously Chet already there, Hartenstein. But they're in a position where this player doesn't have to play either. So they're in a very privileged position roster wise, but that does make it interesting. See if
Hartenstein becomes available. Trade a first for Hartenstein.
Absolutely. I would. A first? Absolutely. For Hartenstein to get your center? Yeah.
Mm.
You wouldn't?
Wonder how close that gets you. The only thing is, I just don't see Presti.
Me either. That's
sending him to the Lakers specifically, right? Like, just in terms of just raw game theory. Like, if he would get one first rounder from the Lakers, would he take 2 second rounders from some team in the Eastern Conference, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, I mean, Hartenstein's also an important player for them. I mean, you saw that Chet can have his struggles. If you don't have Hartenstein, you're in trouble. And I think they're going to lose Lu Dort this summer already. And I doubt they want to lose too many pieces of a core that just won the title and then won whatever many games they won this year. But yeah, if you can get Hartenstein like that, that'd be the, and he's not like a super lob threat.
It like resets the summer, right? Because the vibes around the summer so far have been not great. Like we'll talk about that in a second too. But like the vibes around the summer so far have been kind of like, hey, is summer going to start?
It's a lot of pressing the brakes. It's all of like this car is going 90 and you guys need to push it back to like 55. Like the car, guys got to slow down a little bit. So we'll see.
But yeah, the Bucks, you know, wanted Jaylen Brown on the table. And then they basically figured that Jaylen Brown and like a pick or two from Boston and Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez, and Khalil Ware, plus all of the draft capital from Miami was relatively, you know, comparable. And so they wanted to see which team was going to be willing to take that next step, right? And that's why you saw Yasikonis, right? I probably just butchered his last name. But that's why you saw him in the trade. You saw that extra second rounder, that pick swap. That pushes the deal over the finish line for Boston. Now it's now publicly out there that Jaylen Brown was included in the deal, even though they wouldn't go the extra step of included like a Baylor Shireman or Hugo Gonzalez. Like they didn't want to include either of those two guys on top of Jaylen Brown.
Do you buy that? I don't buy that. That they would not include those two to get Jan. I don't know. It wasn't directly reported that. It was kind of just said that they didn't want to add extra pieces on top of it, and it was kind of thought of as those two. I mean, I don't know how Brad Stevens goes back into his place and goes, you know, we couldn't get him, couldn't move Hugo Gonzalez for Giannis. Yeah. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's already
Like the first time, like I hope Jaylen Brown and Hugo Gonzalez like have locker rooms right next to each other or lockers right next to each other. And Hugo's like, well, they included you. Sorry. Right.
Yeah. They like me.
Still waiting for Jaylen Brown's first Twitch session.
That's going to be crazy promoted. Yeah. And it's going to do crazy numbers. I have a quick theory. We have some time, right? I don't think our selection is close. The Lakers aren't close.
Until tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. We got time. So I know the reporting and all that. This is not like, I'm not saying none of that is, you know, not true. These two deals though, Anthony, are so like stark from each other that I don't believe Milwaukee ever really wanted to trade with Boston. Like if you're going to Boston for a trade, superstar trade, and Jaylen Brown's on the table, if you're not taking Jaylen Brown, to me, you weren't really serious about, like, Jaylen Brown is on the table. Like, you either are getting Jaylen Brown, who is a legit star, maybe not superstar, obviously maybe a little overpaid. I'm higher on him than others, but in any case, like a legit guy that can take you to a 45 to 50 win teams as your number one. Can he be a number one on a title team? We'll see. But in any case, he took the Celtics to the 2-seed, 3-seed, whatever. Or you take this package from Miami where there's clearly no number one, right? And it's just a volume of picks. Like the deals are so separate that I'm not sure Milwaukee ever really, like this is just my theory, wanted to make the trade with Boston. They leverage Boston to get more from Miami, in my opinion. And I think that's where Giannis really wanted to be. Now it came out that he would sign an extension with Boston, Miami, and Minnesota randomly, mm-hmm. who I guess the reporting is wouldn't put Jaden McDaniels in the trade. It's like Anthony Edwards is 24. You can get him Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I love Jaden. I think Jaden McDaniels is really good, but Giannis is on. In any case, I'm not sure how much. Again, that hasn't been heavily reported, but in any case, that's kind of my theory on this is that like Boston was kind of used, and it's kind of nice another team be in this position, right? Lakers get used for leverage all the time, publicly and privately, and so I feel like Boston was kind of used, and not only did Milwaukee not trade into the Celtics, I think they also burned the bridge with Jaylen Brown, which is just a perfect result for me. I thought he was going to Boston. I was so sure he was going to Boston. I was like, they have Jaylen Brown on the table. Like, who's Jaylen Brown's probably worth a package, not the same as what Giannis got, but like, you, if you could do a year of Jaylen Brown and then flip him later for etc. So that's kind of my theory on this Giannis situation.
If you looked at the reporting over the weekend, you know, I think Stein and Fisher were kind of hinting heavily that it was going to be Boston. Chris Haynes outright said that it was going to be Boston. I think Wendy even said that, like, when, you know, Boston had taken the lead and, you know, made their push, and now they sat there in the driver's seat. It was a bit of a surprise that when the Shams notification came out that it was Miami. So, which, you know, look, it, as Harrison and I talked about yesterday on the show, we are all getting information. We are all trying to sift through all of that information. We are all trying our best to, you know, basically give our most informed speculation. But that's really what it is a lot of times. What teams are going to do until the moment right before it happens tends to be speculation. It's really rare that, like, you know right away that like something is definitely going to happen when there are multiple choices that a team can make. And in this case, you know, that's why I always kind of try to tell people, like, I always see the lists out there of like which reporter is real, which reporter is fake, which reporter is this, which reporter is that. And like far more often than not, it's like which reporter reports stuff that I like hearing is what dictates like how people feel about that reporter. But what it often like all of us now look, I'm not going to for a moment pretend that I have the same amount of information at my disposal that like a Wendy has, that Stein has, that, you know, the people at that level have. I'm just some dude basically over here who has, you know, a handful of people who I can talk to and I can inform my speculation on. But you know, at the same time, you know, I always try to tell people like trends is the thing to pay attention here. Trends is what, like, you know, what you're noting. And look, the trend there was that it was going to be Boston, and then it wasn't. Then it was Miami. And I'm happy for Giannis. It did seem as if he wanted to go to Miami all along. And I do think with that being the case, Milwaukee did the best they could possibly do. You know, when a superstar is telling you, I want to go to a city, oftentimes that removes leverage from Milwaukee there. And I thought they handled that situation quite well, even though I, you know, personally would have traded him before you wave and stretch Dame and before you sign Miles Turner to the deal that you do or that they did. What do you make, though, of the Lakers not being included on that list of teams that Giannis would have signed an extension with? Right. You mentioned Golden State, but the Lakers thought they were going to be on that list, too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Lakers and Giannis dream died a while ago. It's very clear to me that Giannis wanted to stay in the East, other than, I guess, Minnesota was the random one, right? And I guess we'll never really know what his intentions were of going to Minnesota. But, yeah, I never really thought the Lakers were in on Giannis, you know, after probably last summer, where they can maybe convince themselves, hey, we'll see how Milwaukee's season goes. You know, we'll see how kind of our season goes and if that's a place to kind of go down. But yeah, honestly, like I was off the Giannis kind of train pretty early. I just didn't really fit. And especially when they were going very clearly into the Luka Austin as the kind of two guys they're building their offense around, I think the team needs to be just a little bit more spread out, a little bit more depth than if you went and got Giannis. You're a three-star quote-unquote build once again, and that's a really tough way to win, and I just don't think you'd be able to build a roster capable to take advantage of Luka's prime, which is this year, next year, and probably a couple more years going. But you want to take advantage right now, and I just don't think getting Giannis would, you know, put you in that place. That's where Miami has a bunch of decisions to make too, right? Like, is this the year they're going all for it, or do they kind of settle in with Giannis and Bam and then try to build the depth around that? I feel like Pat Riley and Spoelstra are going to try to go hard to get, you know, the roster where it needs to be.